The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a jar of water. Follow him. Wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. Make the preparations for us there." The disciples then went off, entered the city, and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. While they were eating, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, gave it to them, and said, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, and they all drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which will be shed for many. Amen, I say to you, I shall not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Then, after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The Lord be with you. Today we have this beautiful celebration of Corpus Christi. And that's kind of a Latin word, big word, and means the body of Christ. I thought I would do a little history today about this feast day and maybe answer a question that some have when they come in our church and they see this box in the center and it looks like something from the Old Testament, right? The Ark of the Covenant, right? Well, I want to give a history homily today, and for all of our young people here, I know you're tired of schoolwork in history class. It's almost summertime, but just one more class, okay? Just bear with me a little bit. I'm going to go fast. Hopefully, you can keep up, because there's a lot of history behind why all of our Catholic churches have a box in the center. And some of you are probably thinking, that's not really a box, right? There's another word for it, a big word, tabernacle. And in that box, we keep the Eucharist. See, a lot of these words that, you know, sometimes need to be explained. So let's go a little bit back in time here to the gospel where Jesus said and he broke that bread. And that wasn't very strange, right? They're at a meal. But what was really strange was Jesus said, "This is my body. Take this and eat it." And you can imagine just the confusion of the apostles. They knew something really special had happened, powerful, but they didn't know how to explain it or what it really meant. And then Jesus said, "Do this in memory of me. Keep doing this." Well, they figured out little by little what that meant, and it happened after they left the Last Supper. Jesus then went to the cross and to the tomb, and on that Sunday morning, as they went to the tomb was empty. And they were still confused, and two of the apostles went off to Emmaus, Cleopas and a friend of his, could have been his wife, we don't know, but we know one of them was named Cleopas. They went to Emmaus, and you've probably noticed in the front row we have a lot of women from our parish here, from Spanish-speaking members of our family that just did a retreat called Emmaus, where they walked to Emmaus, and they just finished, so they're here to give thanks to God for the graces of the weekend. But like them, 2,000 years ago, these two apostles, disciples, they were walking, and then this stranger comes to them, and it's Jesus, but they have no idea it's Jesus, and he's telling them all these things, and they don't recognize him until the very end of the day when Jesus breaks the bread, and he gives them the bread, and then he disappears. And it says their eyes were opened in that moment with the bread of life in their hands. They saw Jesus. And they went running back to tell the apostles that Jesus appeared to us and he was doing that breaking the bread thing again. And well, the apostles and the disciples began to heed the word of Jesus, to do his will. After the ascension, every Sunday they would gather, no longer on the Saturday, which was the Jewish Sabbath. The Christian Sabbath was moved to Sunday, the first day of the week. And there they broke the bread of life. And in that breaking of the bread, they offered it up to heaven in thanksgiving. And that's what the Greek word Eucharist means. But something happened. After they had consumed the bread of life, shortly after, some of them were taken prisoner. Maybe it was St. Paul. There was the Jewish authorities were going after the members of the church, and some of them were put in prison. And the next Sunday, they wanted to go to the breaking of the bread, but they couldn't. So they managed to send word to the Christians to say, "Can you please bring us some of that bread?" And that's where the deacons first came into one of their first roles, right, which was to bring the bread from the Mass to the prison. And even today, Deacon Michael, that's what he does often each and every day, right, is to bring the Eucharist to the hospitals, the nursing homes, anywhere that people need the bread of life. And so they got the bread of life secretly into the prison. It was dangerous. And then the following week, they had to make more of the bread of life. Instead of just bringing the bread in for those that were present, they brought extra bread because people in the prisons needed it, those that were sick and couldn't come. And so they had all the extra Eucharist. What did they do with that during the week? Well, they couldn't keep it in a box in the church, because the church was a dangerous place to be, because if the Roman soldiers came in or the Jewish authorities came in, then something could happen to that Eucharist. It was too dangerous, so they gave the Eucharist to the families. And the first place where the Eucharist was reserved and kept was in the homes of the families. The moms and dads and their children would take a linen cloth and they would take the bread of life home. And the priests and the deacons would know where the Eucharist was kept, and that way they could secretly bring it from place to place. Well, eventually the persecutions ended, or there were times when the church wasn't persecuted, so they didn't need to give the Eucharist to the families to keep. They could keep the Eucharist in the church, and so they started to build little boxes made out of gold and silver, boxes that they began to call tabernacles. Because a tabernacle in Latin means a dwelling place or a tent. And it was the Old Testament idea that the tent of meeting, remember where Moses would go in and they could move the tent place to place, but wherever they set up the tent, the Spirit of God would come down and fill the tent. And in the tent was the Ark of the Covenant, the Holy of Holies, and that imagery was kept in the church. Now, it wasn't always a box. Sometimes in some places they actually had what they called the dove. And it was a silver or a gold image of a dove, which represented the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the one at work when the bread becomes the bread of life. It's through the Holy Spirit. And so they began to have silver and gold doves, and they would hang them right over the altar. And they sometimes referred to the church as the home of the dove. Well, little by little, the Eucharist, as we kept it in our churches, the Christians began to want to go into the church to pray. They could pray at their homes, but there was something special about going into the church where that little red candle that we have here would be lit, and you'd just know the presence of Jesus was there. And so that's where adoration began, right? Where Christians during the day, during the week, would just come in for quiet prayer, to be with Jesus. Remember what St. Peter said in the Transfiguration when Jesus was in his glory? He says, "Master, let's build three tabernacles, three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, and let's just be here." Well, that's what Christian adoration is. It's just being with Jesus, in a sense, keeping him company. Well, over the years, then they began to do things like the Eucharistic procession, where they would take the Eucharist out and they would carry it through the town of the village, and they would honor the Blessed Sacrament, which is what they began to call it, the Blessed Sacrament. And they even wanted to be able to see the Eucharist, and so some of the tabernacles had little windows that you could look in And sometimes they had these crosses that we now call a monstrance, and you can put the host in the monstrance and you put it on the altar, and that all began in the 11th and 12th centuries. Well, that's a lot of history for you to get to where we are today, right? Which is why in all of our Catholic churches, as we have for 2,000 years, we have these beautiful boxes, tabernacles with the presence of Jesus. Now, it's a mystery, right? We can't really explain in exact, precise theological terms how this little piece of bread on the altar, when the priest lifts it up, it becomes the body of Jesus. And you know, to understand it, you don't have to maybe have all the words to say. It's more something from your heart. Let me tell you one little story about something that happened to me when I was, 15 or so. It was a Sunday morning, and we were going to head off to church. I'm from a big Catholic family, so there was probably 6 or 7 kids at that time, and we were 4 blocks from the church, so it just meant you walked down the street to church. And instead of going down to walk, my parents said, "All right, kids, get in the car," right, in the big family van. "We're going to Mass with the saints today." And we didn't really know what that meant, right? My parents had a little secret plan. "We're going to Mass with the saints." Well, we got in the family van, and not far from our home, there was an institution, a place where people with Down syndrome could live. If they didn't have a family to take care of them, or just no one else could take care of them, they were brought there. And it was this big institution. And if you have a friend who has Down syndrome, they are just the happiest people. They're always smiling and waving and giving hugs, and it was a happy place. And those were the saints that we were going to Mass with. And as we went in and we sat down, I could admit that I was just 15 or so. It was a little distracting because all during the Mass, they were waving and smiling and getting up and moving around and talking and just having a great time. And the priest who was doing the Mass, just was kind of going along with it. And I was distracted and with just the noise and the things going on. And all of a sudden, though, at the moment of the consecration, when the priest held up the bread, this group of about 100 brothers and sisters of ours with Down syndrome, they grew quiet and they just hushed. And then the priest lifted the chalice, and he put the chalice down. And then, once the chalice was down, they started to laugh and wave and smile again. And they knew in their hearts that something divine had just happened. And a few months later, we went back again to Mass with the saints. And the same thing happened. This time, we were all waiting for it, right? Is it going to happen? And it did. You see, Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see God." And I say that simply to say my faith in the Eucharist often will depend on the purity of my heart, the simplicity of my heart. There's just so many things that can distract us from seeing God. And so my invitation for you this week, as you go home, each one will have received the Eucharist, right? And our hearts and souls will be a living tabernacle. And what a beautiful thing to think of our families as those domestic churches where Jesus resides. We're bringing Jesus with us back to our homes. That's the power of being a Catholic, right? We know that we have our Lord with us. So today, as we give thanks to God for this great mystery, let's not try to understand it with our mind as much as open our hearts to this great mystery. And as the days go by, and from my office in the ministry building, I can see the church, and every day at least 100, maybe 200 people just kind of come through the church to make a little visit. They come in and they sit down, they don't say anything, they don't do anything, but they just want to be with Jesus. That's such a blessing to see our spiritual family with such a deep love for Jesus, that taking a break from your lunch break, or you're just driving by, right, and you just swing into the parking lot, hopefully it's not raining, you come in for just a moment to say hello to Jesus. He's been here for 2,000 years, so that we're not alone. That's a wonderful thing to say to Jesus, I'm not going to leave you alone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.